Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. Great to be with you today. If you hear an extra echo today, it's because I actually have the house to myself for once. That's right, when you have 10 people living in a house that's under 2,000 square feet, it gets a little crowded, but guess what? I'm alone, so I'm sitting at the kitchen table. No carpet in here, so you might hear a little echo. We're talking about the nature of mankind, and then today we're going to start talking about what is the soul. We hear this phrase a lot about the soul. And to get started, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and operative and keen above any two-edged sword and penetrating up to the parting of soul and spirit, both of the articulations of marrow, and is a judge of the sentiments and thoughts of the heart." Now, we've been talking in the last two audios about how that what is mankind? The answer is soil. We talked about the soul a little bit, but we're going to get into more detail in that. You know, usually when people today talk about the soul, what they really mean is the spirit. Now, the Greek word for soul is psuche. Yeah, I'm talking in tongues there. P-S-U-C-H-E in English. And the English language, unfortunately, has used this word wrongly. For instance, we have the word psychology, which is the study of the mind, not the soulish sensations. There's a difference. So we use the word soul very wrongly in English, and that's why we have so much confusion. So what do we do? Well, we need to see how it's used in Scripture. We have to go to the Divine Library. The King James and other translations translate that Greek and Hebrew word for soul as life and various other ways. And that's not correctly cutting the word of truth. And that's why it's very important that some words have to be translated uniformly, or we're going to have a lot of confusion. Soul, life, and spirit are different. I want to repeat that. Soul, life, and spirit are different. Now, we mentioned the Greek word for soul is psuche, and the Hebrew word is nephesh, and it's translated over 40 different ways. No wonder we have such confusion. I have a list here. This is one Greek word, and hear how it's translated. Now, listen to the various ways the word nephesh is translated. It's translated any, appetite, beast, body, breath, creature, dead body, deadly, desire, fish, oh my gosh, heart, hearty, him, life, lust, man, me, mind, mortally, person, self, they, thing, whither will, would have. And there are other places where it's not even translated. They actually leave it out. So we can see why there's such confusion regarding this word soul. And by the way, the Greek word has been translated inconsistently as well. So no wonder we have such confusion between soul and spirit. I remember a friend of mine was brought before a Pharisaic board, a board of elders and pastors, because he stopped teaching that the dead don't go to hell when they die, unbelieving dead. And when you watch this 9-hour video, the pastors couldn't distinguish between soul and spirit. The soul went to hell, or the spirit went to hell. Even though they were agreed that they didn't really understand, they all agreed on one thing. Well, some part of man goes to hell when he's unbeliever, when he dies. In other words, well, even though we can't explain it, we know it's true because our doctrinal statement says it. That's a horrible doctrine. Now, I personally was taught that the soul was life. Even one of my heroes, E.W. Bollinger, sometimes confused this word with life, which is unfortunate. But look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I'm turning there right now. Genesis 2, verse 7. Yahweh Elohim formed the human of soil from the ground. I'm reading from the Concordant Old Testament. And he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living soul. Now, soul is life. Tell me how this sounds. And the human became a living life. Now, that's pretty ridiculous. So the soul is not life. It's a different thing. The soul and spirit and life are not the same. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I know some people want to use this verse to undo everything we've said, but it doesn't. I'm going to read this for you real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "Now may the God of peace himself be hallowing you wholly, and may your unimpaired spirit and soul and body be kept blameless in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the presence. And why does Paul bring up the soul here, and the spirit and the body? Is before we go further, remember, the soul is the result of the union of body and spirit. If you didn't hear this before, go back to our first two audios on this topic. It's not a separate entity. It's the result. This passage in 1 Thessalonians shows how the importance of the soul in connection with Christ's presence and resurrection. So it doesn't undo any of these doctrines. And we also learn in 1 Corinthians 15, there is a distinction where the first Adam became a living soul and the last Adam a vivifying spirit. Now, the word soul, what does it mean? If you look in the concordant version, in the keyword concordance, it has the word cool. The idea is sensations. The word soul has to do with conscious experience. Now, I was taught that the soul is the place where we have the highest spiritual experience. That's where we communicate with God. And yet, when I turn to James 3:15, I read that it's put between the words terrestrial and demonic. And might as well read it here for our benefit. James 3, verse 15. James chapter 3, verse 15, we read this wisdom. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but terrestrial, soulish, and demonical. Soulish has to do with one who's swayed by the physical sensations. The Lord Jesus said that the soul is more than food. You feed your soul. It has to do with the feeling and the eating and so forth. So soul is not this, as I was taught, the highest form of communication with God. And remember again, we can't emphasize this enough. There is a difference between life, spirit, and soul. Now, I used to be a pastor. I put that in quotes. I was a kind of a leader, a Bible study leader of a church. And when I first started to see that the doctrine of eternal conscious torment was a lie, I started teaching it in my church. And how I came to that conclusion was I started studying the nature of the word soul and spirit, and I looked up all 857 references to the word soul. And I remember what I did was, is I gathered our church meeting on our Thursday night Bible study, and I asked everyone a question. I had a whiteboard, and I said, I want everyone in this room to give me a definition of the word soul. And I had a huge whiteboard, and we were like 10 people in the class, and everyone gave their definition. I wrote every definition down. And when I was done writing everyone's definition, I said, now we're going to go to the first 11 chapters of Genesis and see if we're right. Most people get their definition of soul from theology. They don't get it from the scriptures. One of the first definitions I had on the word soul was that it distinguishes humans from animals. Did you hear that? People say that, well, humans have souls, animals don't. And then you turn to Genesis 1, verse 20, and Elohim said, let the waters swarm with the swarming thing, the living soul, and let the flyer fly above the earth on the face of the atmosphere of the heavens. The first time soul appears in Scripture, it has to do with animals. Animals are souls, living souls. So all of our definitions that we came up with were wrong. And this is so important. So much of the information we've got is from Plato and philosophy, not the Word of God. Well, some badly translated scriptures maybe. So this is very important. We're going to have to stop here. I'm going to get into this subject a whole lot more. Keep listening. This is vital information. Now, I put together a packet of material called Basic Scripture Study, and it's a series of booklets on mankind, what is man, what is the soul, what is death, Christ and deity, and on correctly cutting the word of truth. You can go to studyshelf.com, Clyde Pilkington's website. He has a package there available for you. These are basic scripture studies. Go to to studyshelf.com to get this material and study on your own. Well, I have to run now. Have a great day. I love you in Christ. And in this glorious teaching we have regarding the Saviorhood of God. See you next time.